Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Glenn Mason said a long time ago at the University of Minnesota, you need a pair and a spare.
And thank you, PJ. It's time for another edition of the Pair and a Spare podcast. Justin Gard from The Fan, Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune, and the Halloween baby himself, Ryan Burns from GopherIllustrated.com. Thanks, everybody, for playing along with hashtag Halloween baby last week as we gave away a couple of different pairs to Gophers and Northwestern. Thanks to our great partners at Jack's Cafe. JacksCafe.com is the best place to find info. One of our favorite places in town. It's been here since 1933, generation upon generation of Gopher support, of corporate dinners, of banquets, of holiday gatherings. And speaking of holiday gatherings, before we start, I'll remind you that the Breakfast with Santa still going on, about to start Saturdays in December, December 3rd, 10th, and 17th from 9 to 11. If you want to take your kids down to Jack's Cafe, have a great brunch, which I'll tell you a little bit more about later, and obviously pictures with Santa, 612-789-7297, extension 1, 612-789-7297, to have breakfast with Santa this December, Saturdays in December, at Jack's Cafe, JAXCafe.com. Fellas, how are we doing?
Been better.
Chip is grinding.
You should have heard him in the press box.
You're on the injury report.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All I heard was coughing and hacking. I looked at him, and well, then we're in the bathroom together because we hold hands while we go. And,
sure.
We go together.
And Chip's messing around with his contact. Well, it turns out it's not just the contact here.
Yeah, I thought I had bad contact, but it was the pink eye contact that I had.
Yeah, pink eye. One weekend in Madison, and you just
fall
apart.
I came back, and
here's my question. What was he doing in Madison?
We did not get the full story. We did not get the full story about what went on.
I brought it back from the fraternity house.
Father-son experience somewhere in Madison.
Yeah, they might want to disinfect over the Thanksgiving break at the fraternity house. Dads are dropping all over the
beer games they got going on over there.
Yeah, if it's the Madison I know, it's not safe for this podcast.
Well,
the fraternity houses I've been to.
What's the power trip come on?
They may have gone. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're battling through it.
I'm battling through it.
You're in the decision for you to be on this podcast was in the hands of our medical team. Burnsy and I had nothing to do with it. We don't make the decisions. We put it in the hands of the medical team. We think the Parent of Spare podcast has the best medical team in the country, and they have they're excited. They just want to make sure you're okay. But you were cleared, and we didn't have a replacement. We didn't have an Ethan Kaliak Manis to throw in here. So you're in here, bud. Thanks for gutting it out. You guys like
that's
that one?
Pretty good.
That was a pretty good pluck.
That's pretty good.
You like that?
Let's do it again yesterday.
So let's talk. Let's review Northwestern quickly because this is a huge game this weekend for the Gophers for a million different reasons. They haven't beaten Iowa since Max Williams was here. They've had great opportunities, whether it was 2019, whether it was last year, to beat the Hawkeyes. And in all instances, it's been a damaging loss the last couple of times that they've had opportunities. And this is a big one, obviously, for a million different reasons. So we'll talk about that. But let's clean up Northwestern. It was 31-3. Gophers ran for 1,100 yards. And Mo Ibrahim was terrific. The passing game, not necessarily. But what were just your broad strokes on that game, Chipper?
It was a PJ throwback.
Flex special.
It was a flex special. You found an opponent that you can beat one-handed. And they did it, and Mo was great, and the defense really flew around, and they're playing well. Northwestern's terrible, so it was a mo-hum game.
I like that.
It was a mo-hum game.
I like that. Mo-hum, another victory.
It's almost like Northwestern hasn't won a game on American soil this year.
Right.
But most importantly, maybe with this game, the Nebraska curse ended.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know if you were aware of this, Chip.
Yeah. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think every team that had beaten Nebraska had lost the next week, something like that.
Yep.
And Minnesota finally beats it. But, I mean, the story, again, is a passing game where four easy routine throws. Fleck talked about it yesterday that if they just hit Michael Brown Stevens on one of those, so Ethan misses four easy throws, timing throws in the first half. Two of those probably would have won for touchdowns that Michael Brown Stevens won, even though it was 5 yards past the line. There was nobody there. That Dalen Wright post is too far out in front of him. And then the Fleck special being, what do we do in the second half? Abandon the pass. Yeah. Only four pass attempts in the second half, but they run for 300 yards. The defense continues to be really, really good, and so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Kaliak Manis, I mean, this is what he needs to go through.
Yeah.
Like someone, because I wrote, you know, just give him the keys, rest of the season, see what he can do, get the experience for, you know, a number of reasons. And somebody tweeted me after a game, was like, I thought you said he should be the quarterback. It's like, it's not going to be flawless. He's not perfect. You have to make mistakes and you have to learn from him. And he obviously was erratic in the first half. I thought he got better in the second half.
The throw to Daniel Jackson on the sideline was spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a really nice throw. But right? And now my frame of reference for spectacular quarterback play kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the arm talent right there. Yeah. On the out, it was deep. It was right on the money. It was great.
Yeah, and he was off the mark in the first half. And this is part of the deal. I mean, he has to learn how to do, you know. You got to fail, as PJ says. And so
failing is growth.
That'll be a good experience for him. And this Saturday, I presume he's going to be the guy again. We don't know with Tanner, you know.
Well, let's talk about that.
PJ's not going to tell you.
Of course not. I can't wait to ask him about it at noon today as we tape on a Tuesday and get Tanner's good. He was at practice. And that'll be the essence of it.
I do wonder, though, if this is a concussion. And we, again, that's speculating. We haven't, you know, been told anything. But if it is.
Yeah, Fleck won't confirm it, but I think we're all operating under that assumption.
I mean, that's two in a month.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't play.
That would be, if you're the medical team and you've had a guy you have two concussions in a month.
Yep.
So, and I know, you know, if Tanner's close, he's going to want to because it's senior day and he's just a competitor. But, again, that is where the medical staff takes it over. But, I mean, if he doesn't, this is a big moment for a freshman quarterback. For all kinds of, you know, rivalries and a really good defense and
hanging on to still, your West Division hopes.
You're not eliminated. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a great crowd.
Get Fleck off the Schneid.
Yeah, 0-5. So it's this is what you want for him to have going into next year. And that was a part of my, you know, when I laid out the columns, like, this schedule they face next year is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want him going in having not played any really, you know, some mop up or, you know, the Penn State? You want him to have, it would be five starts he'd have under his belt if he finishes out with the bowl game. So,
So say Tanner's healthy or he's cleared, I should say, which is, I think, a big assumption.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Are we operating under the assumption that Tanner will not be cleared from what you guys think or know or guess?
I heard that there wasn't really any practicing last week for Tanner Morgan.
Yeah.
So there, I think that's a big assumption to say he's going to go from very, very few practices to he's going to be playing in a game on Saturday.
Okay. So,
and he didn't even dress.
No.
So it's right.
So your next question was what, Burnsy, though?
If both
are
cleared and ready to go, which one are you going with?
I go Kalik Manis.
Okay. Show your homework.
He just did.
I just did.
He pre-did the homework. He told us why he thinks it should be.
As rough as the passing game was. Forget next year. I mean, they need to win this year, too.
Yeah.
As rough as the passing game was in the first half, he's still the better passer and gives you a better chance in the passing game. And you cannot just run mo 100 times.
And he's more mobile than Tanner.
And he's more mobile, and we saw that. Like, that scramble to the left where Span Ford got held and he got to the one.
Yep.
Tanner can't do that.
No.
Right. Well, and you and I talked about it on Sunday, Burnsy. Last week, I was more at like a 65-35 split, that it should just be Ethan. I was hoping that his performance against Northwestern would keep it there or extend it. It probably moved it back a little bit for me.
Sure.
Because, and this is why I'd be, you know, I'd be a head coach like PJ. I'd be emotional. I would get attached to my guys and the guy that's, you know, basically been my right hand of the program this entire step of the way. And you're thinking about the story, Tanner walking off Huntington Bank Stadium with the Floyd of Rosedale. Like, what a moment that would be. But I'm with you. I would lean Ethan. It's not as definitive as it was a week ago because they really did struggle. And, again, that's just how the passing game has been here the last 6 weeks, no matter who was quarterback. But I was hoping that the decision in my mind would be a little bit cleaner, if there is even a decision to make. Because I mostly agree with you, like what we talked about last week, with this offense and what it does well and what it doesn't do well and what Ethan can help with if they allow him to, which is move around, get out, do all those things. Even on the read option with Mo, because you know they're going to be keyed up on him, it's probably the way you have to go. Your thoughts, Burnsy?
I think I would go Ethan, too. I put it more so for the mobility factor in this Iowa game, where I think of an Iowa defense as almost like a Northwestern one, where it's just on steroids with everybody knows what you're going to do, you just got to stop it. But like Minnesota tried to do last year with that toss game, I mean, the key for you in the run game is to try and get Iowa's linebackers and
and defensive line going side to side. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can maybe incorporate maybe a little option this week, something weird, something new, that's what Ethan can give you. Because, again, the passing game is always something different every week. We've talked about that for nearly 2 months now. It's never just the quarterback. It's never just the receivers. They're the pass protection. But, I mean, Ethan's obviously going to have to play better if that's the way they roll. But I just think his mobility and being able to, say, break the pocket on a 2nd and 9 and get 3 yards instead of taking a sack like maybe Tanner would do,
right,
could do worlds for a game that is projected to be something like 17-14.
Yes, we're saying this is still
that's
like
exactly
a 17-13.
What Tripper said. Yeah, you guys are seeing it the same.
You know, to me, where we're seeing this offense really come to a halt is when the offense line just gets overmatched. We saw it at Illinois. We saw it at Purdue, where
I would also say
you couldn't do anything.
I thought the offensive line played their best game.
Yeah, so that's where you want to see, mm-hmm. are they going to win that or at least be a draw this week against a really good Iowa defense? I mean, we all love Tanner, but I just think, particularly if it is a concussion, coming off a concussion, do you want to put him back in that environment when he hasn't probably had a whole lot of practice time?
Probably not.
I agree.
Probably not. I went up at halftime, as I usually do. It was a complete mess for me on the field on Saturday.
You were bundled up. I was proud of you.
Well, the weather may have had something to do with, like, the equipment wasn't working very well. The batteries may have been draining more quickly than they usually do.
Like the cart in the end zone?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, of course I saw it. And that was the second cart they grabbed. The cart they wanted to grab wouldn't start at all. It was standing behind me on the wall, so clearly not winterized, not ready to go.
It wasn't like that cold.
No, but they
somebody
just haven't used them.
Batteries.
Yeah.
Before
yeah. Or you got to, fill up the gas tank. It's Minnesota. My mom still says that to me. I'm 40 years old, and she'll say, it's going to be cold. Make sure you fill up
before
you put the car in the garage.
I'm not the only one who still gets that.
I'm 40 years old, Mom. Yeah, I've somehow made it this far. So I was late getting down to the field because the batteries weren't working up top. Then I came up to see you guys at halftime. I was also late, but that was more just because I was BSing with everybody. You're welcome again for the cookies. I went to go get a nice chocolate chip cookie.
I had two.
They were gone, and I look over.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
I had two.
He's sneaky because he had his little headphones on during halftime. He's like, you can't bother the writers while they're cracking it out. You can't bother the writers at halftime. Who knows the copy that's being written? So all the writers up top, second row, VIP seating, they have their headphones on.
It must be nice where it's 70 degrees and then he comes down the front row.
You could move up, by the way.
Okay, you say that? That's not the way I understand it.
There's down by the visiting AD suite, there's like 1,000 spots.
Well, he doesn't want to be all the way down there.
Why would I want to be all the way down there by myself? Well, to be fair, I'm all the way down in the first row by myself.
I was going to say, there's no,
it's
just cold.
To me, I guess.
And so I go down to see Burnsy.
It's a good thing the Strip's got like 5 seats in the second row that never get filled.
Oh, it's not a road game. They'll be there. It's not a road game.
That's a shot.
No, it's not. And I'm actually on Team Star Tribune there. I understand why. I'm not gonna rip people for that. I see Burnsy's, there's one cookie on the napkin, and then there's remnants of the second one. and here I am with my sugar cookie, which is disaster. Not even worth taking. But
I took the last two. I wanted to know.
I got to take some. I looked down, two just delectable chocolate chip cookies.
So you took two.
Absolutely. I took the last two. I wasn't going to leave a Minnesota orphan, like my fiance likes to call it.
It's very funny. It's very, very true.
Oh, you were furious, though. So.
Not really, because I didn't really need the cookie. I had one.
I mean, to be fair, neither. I got a wedding in 40-something days now. I don't need any of that type
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. So anyway, I just wanted, because people have been following along with the cookies and the brownies. This last week, somebody came through the pregame show and said, going to get a brownie today? I said, I don't know. We'll find out.
The best part of that story is just them having a meeting about it because of your raising of the kerfuffle.
Well, you know,
everybody likes to have a nice meeting, right?
Yeah. The U loves their meetings. Trust me.
Everybody loves to have their input heard, right?
Yeah, it's collaborative. It's very well aligned. So we've talked about the passing game a little bit. So I brought all that up because I go up to see Burnsy because the passing game in the first half was non-existent again. Yeah. And I was just like, hey, how are your Twitter mentions today? Because usually when I go up there, Tanner could be 19 of 21 at the first half, he overthrew one guy, and the place just goes nuclear. Everybody's mad. I go, how's Twitter? And he goes, haven't really heard from anybody today. Like, it's a ghost town. He's like, it's almost like you had to make sure your account was still active. You got no negativity
about
the quarterback.
I make a tweet
play
after Ethan misses his fourth throw of the first half, where it's like, if he hits Dalen, Dalen's still running, and it's true. And people, yeah. And then the funny thing is, I say that, I get like five people saying, well, give the kids some slack.
Yeah.
It's like, so he can miss four throws.
Yeah.
But Tanner, to your point, can go 19 of 22.
Tanner got Chris Ottman Bell injured, according to your Twitter wall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, going back to that.
Okay,
I mean,
Tanner,
they were blaming him for that.
Who's going to leave
the
university?
Why do you hate Cal McManus?
Yeah, I know. Who's going to leave the U as the all-time, what is it? He's going to be the
winningest.
And the most accurate quarterback in the history. According to Twitter, he can't complete a forward pass. It's a miracle. But it's just, I just wish there was middle ground here. That was my whole thing with you on Sunday.
There's no
and
such
Saturday
thing on Twitter.
Well, it's just
there
even
no
with the casual
ground
fan, it's like,
I hope Elon Musk just blows it all up, because it'd be perfect for me to just get rid of it.
Well,
I wish we
save
could
save some stress in your life.
Yes,
it?
Absolutely.
Unnecessary stress.
But it's like, we all agree.
Or
Ethan,
not stress, frustration. I just he has stress.
Burnsy looks like, for people,
he's ready to go.
For people familiar with the Chris Lindahl billboards where he's got his hands outstretched, Burnsy is Chris Lindahl right now. We just lost him.
His coffee just went through his nose.
We got Chris Lindahl over here. He's so mad.
Oh, God. I just wish, like, we all can understand the
Lindahl.
He's like this.
All right, Burnsy's going to walk it out. Yes, it was not. Now, again, it's a redshirt freshman as opposed to a ninth-year senior.
Second career,
well, that's,
so
yeah,
that's going to happen. But the point remains that the passing game, no matter, it validates your point and what I've said too, is like, yeah, the quarterback's always going to get blamed, and he's got to play better regardless of who it is. But there's so many things that have ailed this passing game, really since the Michigan State game, where it was the 1999 Rams out there, how efficient it was. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
We've not seen anything close to that since then for a variety of reasons. That's the point I think Ryan
Chris
Lindahl was
here
trying to,
yeah,
make.
God. Me, I'm getting compared to Chris.
Careful. I don't want to have to edit.
Yeah, that guy.
I don't want to have to edit.
Anyways.
And here's the thing. Like, if it doesn't improve and you don't see more like what we saw at Nebraska second half.
Well, how is it? I mean, you're going to be going against arguably one of the best defenses in college football this weekend, and then Wisconsin has turned a corner defensively off the bye.
Yeah.
So even if it looks anything resembling what it did against Nebraska, I would take that as a win for Ethan.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were good.
I mean, it's helpful
when they play four quarterbacks.
The hope I have for Purdue losing to Northwestern is that the fourth quarterback they played might,
yeah,
find something. It looked like he had a little bit of a wiggle. I like that. Maybe throw him out there.
It was, boy, their talent level,
yeah,
is bad.
Well, you had the greatest nugget on Northwestern that I stole for the Fox 9 pregame show and the radio pregame show. On the percentage of passes.
You're going to buy the coffee one of these days for taking these nuggets.
Isn't my 20 still good? I gave you a 20 like 6 months ago. Have we exhausted that? I thought that was good for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the basically 70% of their passes are from 0 to 9 yards, and that's it. Like, and that's why that, you know, the pass to the one that got loose, it was just such a surprise
them,
in the,
yeah,
first half. They ended up stopping him on fourth down. And then at the end of the half, I still don't know what they were doing on either one of those long plays. I mean, that was just like they were already in the locker room, essentially, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you see Mo go run off the field to go get his ankle retaped. I think the defense was like, I guess we're just going to the half here. Nope, they're going 98 yards to kick a field goal. But other than that, I mean, they were averaging like a yard a play, essentially, right?
Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah.
But I think Minnesota's defense finally, you know, we talk about tendencies last week with that Nebraska first two drive issue. Well, I think Joe Rossi knew what the tendencies were for Northwestern, and he exploited them all day. But I also thought the secondary from, like, 1 through 5.
I like how they're using them now.
Yeah.
They're using all of them, and they're using them in different ways.
Well, Michael Dixon.
Smith had a really Terrell came to play. He had a really nice game. It set the tone from the beginning.
Yeah, him and Jordan Howden on that first turnover on downs. You saw Flip Dixon actually look like what we thought it was going to look like in all of fall camp, playing really physical. They're going to need that exponentially this weekend from him, too.
Do you mean, I don't know if it's the caliber opponent, or do you think they've sort of figured something out with the pass rush, too?
Well, that's the thing, is Ja Joyner went against Peter Skoronski, their left tackle for Northwestern, is projected to be a top 15 pick in the draft. And just to see, like, the Northwestern media say, or even look at the Pro Football Focus grades, that was his worst game of the season, and that's all because of Ja.
Yeah.
Like, he's turned it on in the last four games.
Yes.
But what he did against a first-round NFL type of talent – boy, I know Iowa's tackles ain't. This isn't Tristan Wirfs coming back in through that door.
Yeah.
There is no. You could argue there's no player that they need to show up again more than Ja Joyner, because we all know that Spencer Petras in the pocket, when pressure gets in his face,
they got to get to him.
Yeah.
Well, if there were to be a Dinky Town Athletes Ja Joyner bobblehead, the bobblehead for me would be. He's past the offensive lineman, and the offensive lineman has his arm, like, around his neck.
Yes. You know?
I mean, I've seen that. It's only been called, like, three times in the last 3 weeks.
Fleck was talking about that yesterday.
But, I mean, I'm standing right there, and I can see the ends, essentially, more than most, right? I can't really see what's going on in the interior. But I swear I've seen Ja Joyner buy a guy who's just holding him, like, around his neck, like my 8-year-old would to his 6-year-old brother, or vice versa, just completely hooking him as he's fighting his way, trying to get to the quarterback. He's – really, and he's just got, what, 3 years left, 2 years left? He's a sophomore.
He's got multiple years left.
From Danbury, Connecticut. Really nice.
Does Fleck say he put on 60 pounds since he stepped on campus?
40. Well, the whole funny thing about, like, the Ja Joyner recruiting story is Jim Panagos was the D-line coach at the time. Jim Panagos gets him here, like, the weekend before signing day. He was committed to Boston College at the time. Jim Panagos then gets him to campus, takes the Rutgers D-line job, and then tries to get him to take a flight from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
To Piscataway. So PJ Fleck for the next 48 hours literally didn't leave the side of Ja Joyner. He just, and I remember talking to PJ at signing day. I've never seen him look so tired.
Yeah.
Because not only did they have to flip him from Boston College, they had to then make sure that, again, he's from Danbury, Connecticut.
Yep.
So he's from out east.
Northeast.
That he doesn't go to play for Rutgers. And they're like, yeah, we really needed Ja. And you can see now why.
He's tremendous.
It's interesting that.
I mean, he was a 4-star for a reason, and he's looking all the part of it.
It is interesting that coaches can see, you know, a guy who might be a little undersized, you know, coming out of high school, and project, like, this guy's going to be great once you get him in the strength program, you know, whether it's the length, the.
Yeah, he's just got a great first step and outstanding. And he can bend. Well, that's the thing. Like Justin says, he can get the first step. Or then he dips his shoulder, and then the tackle is just holding on for dear life, and then hooking him and throwing him. And finally, they got two holding calls, which one of them was, I think, on that turnover on downs that even if it was completed.
Yeah.
But they're going to need him. I mean, we've started to see a little bit more life from Thomas Rush.
Yep.
But it's just been, if they can get pressure with four against Iowa.
Yeah.
It's going to be massive.
Well, I even think about those drives, those Illinois drives, that one where they had the first and 20 and the second and 19. I think Ja Joyner was responsible for both of those holdings, too.
Yes.
And that goes back, you know, five, 6 weeks now. So he's been
He's the
tremendous.
X factor for the next two games.
Yeah.
If Ja Joyner, who has just essentially already been a one-man wrecking crew, can actually get home on some of these or can continue to draw 2 to 3 holding calls, if you put Iowa in first
and
20.
Well, that's the thing. Iowa's not overcoming first and 20.
No. Or Wisconsin's not overcoming first and 20. So it's going to be, if Ja Joyner can show up like that, boy, you're going to have to feel good about, especially in a 17-degree game on Saturday.
Let's pause here to talk about Jack's Cafe, our great partner on the Pair and a Spare podcast. Have been all season long, and not only just a great partner to us, but a great partner to the audience. We've given away multiple Gopher game tickets and parking, you know, for the last handful of games, and we just appreciate Bill taking care of the audience because he appreciates you guys supporting him. He wants to pay it forward a little bit and pay it back a little bit. So thanks to everybody that went along with hashtag Halloween Baby last week to enter the contest. No tickets to give away as of now for the Iowa game. We'll let you know if anything changes there. I liked how both of you guys followed up with me multiple times to make sure that I got the digital tickets to the guys. Like, it's not my first time. It's digital tickets. You know, we're good. I'm not meeting them at Rosedale to hand them off.
Did you get it done?
Yeah, the guys have the tickets. Yeah, they'll get the tickets.
To be fair, as the one who runs the Twitter account, they're the ones a little nervous saying, all right, I gave you my email.
I know.
Did they come through? Do I got to check the
spam? People want to get organized. But that's all because of Jack's Cafe. And Bill just emailing us a month ago and saying, let's help out the audience. We love the support.
So help out Bill.
That's it. If you want to go, even if you don't have kids, just go hang out with Santa. Not creepy at all. JacksCafe.com to learn more about all their, you know, if you're not a Breakfast with Santa person, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But if you've got a date night, if you've got
I just made reservations at Jack's Cafe, bringing my fiance and parents and sister there. Going to have a nice meal. I can't wait to have that sirloin, boy.
I know.
I know. It looks
delectable. The hardest part is, like, what are you going to eat? You got to decide.
You got to rotate.
What are you
going to eat? You know, I'm a man of routine, as you may know.
Shocking.
So when I find something, I
am with you too. Well, that's like my wife always say, what do you want? Like, if I order food, what do you want? I go, well, you know, the one thing I get at every restaurant. So just do you pick where we eat and then order what I want. And please no tomatoes. That's like the one rule on everything. So what's your routine, Chipper?
Well, when I find something there I like, I have just the scallops. I'm a scallop,
So you're going to be scallops?
Probably.
Essentially? Well, I think you're leaving
a lot
on the table.
But then my
son
gets the, he gets the prime rib and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the sirloin right now. They've got the great seafood. Look at this. I mean, this is looks like lobster right here. Look at that lobster tail.
Oh, the cheesy hash browns.
The cheesy hash browns for brunch. There's the sirloin with some broccoli and some mushrooms. The point is they've got something for everybody at Jack's Cafe. JacksCafe.com, JAXCafe.com. Perfect time of year if you want to get some friends that are in town for Thanksgiving, friends that are in town for the holidays. Just a great place to meet. Corporate dinners, holiday parties, they've got rooms from 25 to 250. And the Breakfast with Santa, as we mentioned, Saturdays, December 3rd, 10th, and 17th from 9 to 11. You call for that, 612-789-7297, extension 1. You can learn more about it if you go to JacksCafe.com and you don't want to write the number down now, but pastries, beignets, gingerbread pancakes, eggs benedict, waffles, scrambled eggs, bacon sausage, cheesy hash browns, French toast sticks, mac and cheese, fresh fruit and jello juice boxes, holiday cookies.
Wow.
And what else we need? What else do we need here at this point?
And the chip special.
And
parking.
Parking.
Easy. See, someone agree with me. Yeah. Two laps around.
Yes.
Then you head home. And
oh, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
It's like you make two loops. And if it's not, we're going home and having a grilled cheese.
That's exactly right. Or we're driving through somewhere. Yeah, that's how we roll. Shout out to the Parent of Spare listener, by the way, who went into the stadium with a 40% charge and felt like he was just living on the edge. That was the best tweet from Saturday. He's like, I'm going in with 40%. I don't know if I'll come out. Let us know if you got out of there alive with your phone on Saturday. But Jack's Cafe, jackscafe.com.
Well, shoot, I walk into the press box, and what do I see? I take a picture and tweet it up from the Parent of Spare account. Chip's sitting there. What percentage was your phone at? Like 93%, and you thought you had to charge it?
Yeah.
Chip.
Why wouldn't you? If you're sitting there as an outlet, plug it in.
Yeah. No reason to risk it. It was a cold day. I just told you all my batteries just drained on the sidelines.
If you have an outlet right there and your charger with you, why wouldn't you plug it in?
It's irresponsible not to.
I think so.
Yeah, it's irresponsible not to. So the Iowa Hawkeyes had 142 yards of offense, averaged 2.1 yards a play, and beat Wisconsin 24-10
on 24 points
Saturday
with 104.
Let me repeat. The Hawkeyes ranked 129th nationally. I didn't even realize there were that many teams in FBS football.
Yeah.
142 yards, 2.1 yards a play, and beat the Wisconsin Badgers 24-10.
The most sustainable thing where you get a pick six, you get a punt block, and you get a long punt return, and the longest scoring drive on the day for them, I believe, is a 27-yard drive where they kick a field goal. Their longest touchdown drive is like 18 yards.
Yes, because Cooper DeJean had a long punt return. They're calling it the coop and score, by the way. The coop and score when he has an interception or fumble or whatever it is, the coop and score. I do like that.
I was thinking about this today, and this is the fine line that the Gophers and PJ have to walk. Iowa will make you pay for mistakes, and they'll choke the life out of a game, but you can't play scared of mistakes.
You got to take shots.
How do you walk that line, you know?
So who will take more shots this weekend? The Gopher offense or you in a deer stand? Because I think that number...
I thought you were going to say him in a bar.
No, that's me. The number, the number has to be higher for the Gophers than it is for you, given what I've learned about your very conservative approach in the deer stand this fall.
I'm strictly only Robin Hood out there, so they need to be within 30, 35 yards, all right? I wish I had the 870 out there.
Well, you're like Kirk Soraka. You're not going to take a shot you know is not going to work. He said that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, if you have one hope, and we've talked about this for years, you can't try to out Iowa, especially at home, especially on senior day, especially when you're 0-5, especially when just last year you had 40 minutes time of possession. You won the total yardage by 140, and you still lost the football game.
Yeah. So if they do start Kalik Manis, how much trust are they going to put in him?
That's what I'm fascinated to see, because you guys know my theory on Iowa and Northwestern, that coaches get so worried, and you've even hinted at it here, Chipper.
Yeah.
They're going to make you pay for mistakes, and it just becomes self-fulfilling.
It does.
That all week, that's what you hear, and it's not like an intentional thing, but with Northwestern, they've finally, I mean, the team is so bad, but other teams, I think, have caught up to that, where it's like, no, we have better players. Like, we just need to go beat Northwestern, as well coached as they are.
Yeah.
And all the stuff you hear about fits and everything, all that's true. But I told you. I mean, there was one member of the Gopher staff one year when I was like, "Hey, that was it was a good win over Northwestern. They're hard to beat." And the person said, "We should never lose that game ever." Like we get so spun up because we all worry like we got to play perfect. That becomes self-fulfilling. Yeah, Iowa might make you pay for a mistake or two, but that doesn't mean that you just they're banking on you not trying anything.
Yeah.
They have an offense that's ranked 129th in the country that can't do anything. So that doesn't mean you don't try. And teams are making – with all of that, teams are making mistakes anyway. And we've seen some of them. I mean, just an interception, like just the Iowa State game. The Iowa State quarterback just throws it to an Iowa guy at the 10. At the 10!
Yeah.
Just like in Iowa has to go 7 yards or whatever it is. It's they cannot play scared. They cannot be afraid. I'm not saying be stupid.
Yeah.
But there's the line – yeah, fine line is probably the right way to do it. But I just want once for – like what Purdue did historically – we might make some mistakes, but we have to do they want you to play conservative. They want you to not throw it deep. Well,
they want you to fall in that trap.
Yes.
Because they can shorten a game and just like I call it choking a game because it's they get the scoop and score and then they get into the field position and then they punch it, you know. And you have to be willing to try to take some shots down the field and understand it. You know what? If it's Cal McManus, he may throw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just say, okay, now we're going to run Mo 40 times.
Right.
I just don't,
I think both can be true. I think Mo's going to get 30 carries. Oh,
but I think
Ethan
that,
but has to throw it 20 or more times in this game.
I agree.
To the point we're all making, if you miss deep, if you take a deep shot and it's intercepted, and Iowa's got to start it, you know, somewhere and within the their own 25. That's not an offense that's going 75 yards.
And that's the other thing. It's like, trust your defense against their offense.
Right.
That, you know, you can be a little bit more risky because that offense is terrible and your defense is playing really well
now. It just comes down to which offense hits the shot plays. Last year it was Iowa.
You're right. They had two plays, essentially, that beat the game. The Iowa offense, two plays.
It was a Charlie Jones double move on Justin Wally.
Yep.
And then...
it was another broken tackle play for a touchdown.
Oh, the Arlen Bruce one.
Yep. Yeah. Two Gophers were there, including Cody.
Should have been
Durr.
A tackle for loss. And
it should have been.
It's a 28-yard.
But trusting your defense is the opportune point there, is that they'll be fine. And now in 2019, if you remember, Brian Ferentz maybe had one of the best quarters he's ever had. The Iowa was up 20-0 before the Gophers even got off the bus. I mean, they were schemed, whatever it was. We talked about – the scheme during the week and the first couple of series, Iowa capitalized on all three of those, and the Gophers had a long hill to climb. Might have climbed it had Tyler Johnson caught that pass, and maybe we're talking about something different. But you just got to, survive the early stretches because they are going to have something schemed up because they have the last few years against Minnesota's defense. But trust them to keep you within arm's reach against this Iowa offense and go ahead and try to win this game. I thought they did that against Wisconsin a year ago. We talked about it after learning a lesson from the Iowa game before.
And I think they're going to create turnovers. I mean, we've seen Petras,
that's the
throw
key
the ball to you. They're starting to do that.
Yeah, they got to be able to stop Caleb Johnson, who's their freshman tailback, who just ran for, I think, 200 yards 2 weeks ago.
Yep, had 57 against Wisconsin, 2.6 a pop.
If you can stop Caleb Johnson, and that's not a good Iowa offensive line, they are, I believe... in the West, no team has allowed more pressures than Iowa's offensive line than Nebraska. So they're sixth in the West. They allow a lot of pressures. Their tackles aren't good. And Petras, as we've seen, is not good under pressure. So if you can stop the run and make Spencer Petras beat you, as Chip said, there's going to be opportunities. But I also think special teams. LeVar Woods versus Rob Wenger may be the
Your matchup of the week? The Burnsy matchup of the week?
The two top 25 paid only special teams coordinators where one makes plays, the other one's fine. Like, it can't be what Iowa wants to do and field position the heck out of us because Torrey Taylor's better than Mark Crawford. Cooper DeJean is better than Quentin Redding.
Yeah.
And we've seen Iowa's punt block be really good. You can't let special teams kill you here.
You're right.
You need Mark Crawford to do something resembling flip the field.
How many times does Iowa lose the special teams matchup?
Very, very few times.
I don't remember one
in
the last couple
of
years.
They don't.
No, they don't.
And a lot of times they win it decisively.
Well, it's a blowout, yeah. I mean, they tailor it to how they play. I mean, it is part of their game.
Yeah.
Like, where the Gophers is just like a net zero is what they try to do usually, right, which drives you crazy. That's what they try to do.
Yeah.
But you see a team use it to its advantage and become part of the identity. I mean – the punting is winning bit.
Well, it's funny. Like, a lot of times I take special teams for granted, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't. But Iowa, it is in their DNA. Like, that's how they – it's a big component to their winning.
Yeah, no matter who's
there. So you have to be able to neutralize that as best you can if you're the Gophers.
In theory, Cooper DeJean's not going to get a lot of punt returns because Mark Crawford, Mr. 13th in the Big Ten in yards per punt. You're going to get 38 if you need 38. You're going to get 38 if you need 58.
Yeah.
So it's just got to be a game where don't let Iowa special teams kill you, and then you have to win the shot play battle. It just, you got to take the shots. You got to hope Dalen Wright wants to be there. You got to hope Michael Brown Stevens shows up. I mean, those are going to be your two guys down the field, and it's just got to be make the routine plays. If this passing game could just make routine plays.
I know.
It's just going to be a game where, again, there's a reason why Minnesota's favored by 2.5 at home.
Let me, one final thing. We talked about last year how Bucky Irvin and Kai Thomas, you know, really ran well against Iowa.
Yeah, the whole toss play thing. It was great. Yeah. For a loop.
And we've seen over the years, you know, on the 2014 game here, it was the KJ May jet sweep. It was getting out on the perimeter and making Iowa's, you know, linebackers chase you. Do you think there was a reason why Zach Evans got some carries late in the game against Northwestern? Because he might be one that could provide that little spark that's different than what Mo brings. Because you know they're going to be keying in on Mo.
And I would almost just say Trey Potts, we talked about it on Sunday. Trey Potts is the last two home games looked like the Trey Potts of old, and I'd argue he's a little faster than Zach Evans.
Really? You would?
I would say so.
Okay.
But
I will say
either
this,
way, I know what the point is.
I thought Trey looked different.
Yes. Saturday.
He looks decisive and confident again.
He looks back to what we were accustomed to from him, which is good. I hope that continues not just for the last two games, but for next year. I mean, they're going to be relying on him a little bit.
Whether it's him or Evans, I mean –
or even Kristen Hoskins, like we saw them try to do in the Nebraska game for one play. You have to attack them outside the tackles.
That's it. They have to have a wrinkle.
Yes.
Yep.
A new wrinkle. Because they're going to, I mean, Mo's great. And he's going to get his yards, but I don't think he's going to run for 170.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a new wrinkle.
Yeah, like Lucas Van Ness is tremendous. Riley Moss, Cooper DeJean, Jack Campbell. Like, they have a bunch of NFL guys on that defense.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to get them moving sideline to sideline, and you can't get in these third and long situations where Van Ness can just pin his ears back.
I have two dreams for this game on Saturday to follow this story. My first dream is that Tanner Morgan can take a knee on senior day and walk off and go grab Floyd. I think that would be a nice fitting way for him to end.
By the way, if they win, storm the field?
Yes, they absolutely do. They haven't beaten Iowa since 2014. Mm-hmm. And it's cold as hell. They're gonna they're gonna
just
go and try to warm up.
You know
bit.
Me. I'm a cut it loose. Do whatever you want.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
I'm never going to be the.
It's why you're
field
there.
Yeah, it's like
you're there to have fun. Now be
I
careful
because
it's going to be cold and you know
help the person down behind you.
Yeah, it's a longer drop than you think if you're going to jump over. And I've lost some people. People have had broken hips jumping off there. It's like man,
that'd be me.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah,
drink more milk.
Yeah, that's more calcium. More calcium. My second dream would be that before the Gophers take that final knee with Tanner Morgan to go grab Floyd, PJ calls all three of his timeouts.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because that was one of the most OG. I couldn't – even Kirk Ferentz was like, I'm not sure I'm necessarily proud of that in that the summer. But – that's
what,
a rivalry.
What was the quote? You can't figure we'd leave him
he
here.
He said we'd take Floyd with us and leave the timeouts here.
Shame.
Woo! Boy! And it was on Zoom, too, and then he kind of just stared at the camera like, yeah, I said
a
it.
Smug look on his
face.
I'm sure he gave the fist pump, and then he got, you know, on the team plane. He's like,
why did I do
that?
I'm 60 years old.
What am I doing?
But that's alpha man. That's football guys doing football stuff. And I loved it. We talked about it on this podcast. I loved that he did it. I thought PJ's response was pitch perfect.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's what rivalries are. It happens. Like, that's how it should be. I thought, I just love Ferris.
A little snark is not bad.
You would just be looking forward to the PJ interview afterwards. Can you imagine? Like,
no.
We've seen the culture versus skill one. I wonder what this one would be.
Yeah, it would be. That's really why I want
to think about like how
anything.
Like tame that is compared to Jimbo Fisher looseness.
Yes. Yes. You're right. Yeah. And Nick Saban just calling him out. And yeah, go check his past. Yeah, Jimbo, go check his past. Go check his past. Lord Jesus, our Savior, whatever it was.
Bible belt, baby.
Yeah, it would. That would just be tremendous. Yeah. I just want a good story. And that you're right. The post game would be. I don't even think I'd ask a question. I'd just go, PJ, here you go. You got
open mic.
Yeah, PJ, your thoughts. PJ.
But this is, I mean, 0-5. I mean, this is the thing that, this is the hill they have to conquer.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's huge. Because You've seen what the Wisconsin victories have done for just the overall vibe of everything, right?
Well, it's not a roadblock anymore.
Right.
It's the rival you want to win, but it's not like
the
you haven't done it.
The talent is now the same. I mean, I would say they're in the same tier as Iowa and Wisconsin. Now it's about the X's and O's. It's not about the Johnnies and Joes anymore.
Well,
it's about the X's and O's.
We've seen them play well and put themselves in position to win that game. They just haven't done it for different reasons.
Yep, it's a big mountain that they need to eclipse, they need to conquer. That's exactly right. And just to get into that battle, I mean, we saw it. So is it 7? It's 4. It's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 7 years in a row. Yep. And we saw that last year, the graphic that went up 4 seconds after the game. 7 in a row. There's 7 Floyds. There's the year. I mean, that's rough against a rival. I mean, we lived through the decade and a half of the Wisconsin deal, too.
Yeah.
It just changed. I mean, you look at Wisconsin, like part of the reason they fired Paul Chryst is because the Gophers beat him, but because that program wasn't just dominating like it was. Like, there's a lot of Wisconsin fans bitter that they've lost 2 out of 4 to Minnesota. They got accustomed.
Sure.
There's teenagers that got accustomed to just having the axe.
When you just take it for granted, you're going to keep
right.
it, and then all of a sudden you don't, and it happens multiple times where you don't.
Yeah.
You start saying, wait, what's happening across the, you know.
Sources telling me after the game that the Iowa radio crew, I'm not sure which one said it. I assume Gary Dolphin, because it sounds like something Gary Dolphin would say. Said that Floyd of Rosedale has been in Iowa so long, he is now in assisted living. He's now in assisted living. So that was on the post-game radio show. It's a great line. Again, that's a great line.
Yeah.
And now you got to do something about it. Now go do something about it and call all your timeouts if you have that opportunity.
And it's not like we're going to see the Alex Padilla game where he comes in and just changes the entire scope of it. Like, this is going to be a Spencer Petras game. It's a worse offense than they faced last year. It's a better defense, probably the same special teams. You just got to go do it at home on senior day.
Right.
Which I'll be very intrigued to see who walks and who doesn't amongst guys like, even like the whole Mo Ibrahim thing. Everybody knows he could technically come back.
He could?
You really?
Yeah. It's he could get the medical red shirt for last year because the COVID year never counted.
Mm.
Or like Brevin Spanford, Tyler Newbin.
Spanford should come back. He should. I mean, I have no basis for that. I'm just saying you should come back.
Yeah, I wonder what
Newbin's going to be the interesting one.
Yeah. I would love to know what NFL scouts are saying about Spanford.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to see more another year.
I think him and Newbin have draftable grades. But it's like if you
I think
come
Newbin
back.
For sure.
Well, I think both do. Because Brevin right now is the number one rated run blocking tight end in the Big Ten. Like, he took over the Co-Keefe role, and him and Nick Kallerup have been really good.
It's funny you say that, because was it the last game? I can't remember, but he was crashing down on that end and destroying.
He has been really good there, and you look at the mold of what NFL tight ends are now, just big athletic bodies. Like, I think both of them would be draftable, but I think the pitch would be come back for one more year and have the John Michael Spitz experience, where you can go from a fourth or a fifth round grade to you can hopefully be a top 60, top 90 pick.
So in our final 7 or 8 minutes, I've got two things we need to discuss. Number one, let's set the stage for what the Big Ten West race looks like at the moment, Bernsey. No one technically controls their own destiny.
It's all just incredibly
good. Do I need a calculator for this?
No, but
there's
make
a
sure
lot
your phone is charged. Charge your phone.
Oh, boy.
Most people are operating under the assumption that Illinois loses to Michigan. Even that graphic, Bernsey, that you tweeted out or that retweeted, that was all under the assumption that Illinois loses to Michigan. So as I understand it, in that scenario.
And then Wisconsin, you assume Wisconsin in that scenario beats Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the two assumptions.
Iowa, if they win out, goes. In that assumption.
Yep.
Now, if Illinois beats Michigan, that throws
some
type of
wrinkle. So if Iowa wins out and Purdue wins out?
Iowa would go
because
they have the head-to-head.
Yeah.
For Minnesota's purposes, we talked about this, I think, last week again. We're going back to the Purdue game. I told you that week after that was going to come back to haunt them. Now, if they lose both of these games, Iowa and Wisconsin, then you go no worse for the wear. However, if you do go 9-3 and Purdue doesn't lose to Northwestern or Indiana, which I'm sure they're heavy favorites in both, Purdue would be going to Indy. So the Gophers need to win out and have Purdue lose one of their final two games. Purdue, if the Gophers beat Iowa, they just need to win out. Have I distilled that pretty carefully?
Right, and if for Minnesota to go, they got to do something they literally, figuratively, spiritually, and emotionally have not done in my entire lifetime, and that's beat Iowa and Wisconsin in the same season. They haven't done so since 1990.
And back-to-back weeks, by the way, that's tough.
It is tough.
I mean, Illinois just did it.
Yeah,
Illinois did it with all three of them, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, but it's a tough man, ask.
If they do it.
You're going to be
10 points.
You're going to be thinking about the Brown Stevens spear off the chest for an interception,
yeah,
and the Matthew Trickett, who Matthew Trickett has been really good outside of one kick.
You're right.
That one kick cost, you can argue, cost them a football game.
You know what's funny though? We thought like this is what the West would be,
and it is.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's parity, man.
A month ago, we were like, this is over, or 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Well, then Illinois
is going to cruise to this.
Yeah, then Illinois they have no depth. Chase Brown is now injured.
Yep.
Josh McCray, their number two running back, is now out again. It's like you're seeing the cracks from all the teams that needed to have cracks.
Right.
But it's just there's so many different scenarios. I think, what is it, four? So it's five different West teams are still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, including Wisconsin somehow.
Yeah, very slim.
Yeah, like everybody has to lose every game, and they've got to win the rest.
Yes, Purdue's got, there's a lot of.
Who does Wisconsin have this week?
Wisconsin has Nebraska.
Yep.
Okay. At home, right?
Wisconsin is in Nebraska, in Lincoln.
Yeah. If you are a Gopher fan, you want Nebraska to show up. You need Casey Thompson to be healthy because Nebraska plays Wisconsin and Iowa the last two games of the season.
Yep. Yep. So it's, I mean, it's intriguing. We have no idea when any of these games are because of that. You know, like you're trying to get TV times.
And
we've been 6 days. My wife hates it. Everybody hates it.
Like
my boss
Wisconsin
hates it.
Game. Like, I believe that game for 6 years straight has been either at 2:30 or 3.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't know yet, I think we all can read between the lines about what game time that'll probably be in Madison.
Well, a lot of it is because the Michigan Ohio State game is always noon. Yep.
Noon,
that's always the big noon kickoff, the 11 o'clock kick here central. Yep. So, yeah, it's going to be wild. But for the Gophers, you got to. Don't worry about anything.
Yeah,
except you got to go 1-0 in the Iowa championship season, right?
Say they beat Iowa and Wisconsin, but then don't go to Indy. So you're 9-3.
It'd be remarkable. I mean, it'd just be in what world? To you, what you say? In what world would that ever seem possible that you beat Iowa and Wisconsin, you have a 9-3 record, and you're not in Indianapolis?
Do you consider the season, in air quotes, a success?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Not an elite season, but of course
it would
be
a good season.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Six Big Ten wins. You win both rivalry games for the first time since 1990.
Yes.
Sucks you didn't go to Indy, but you're doing things that.
Yes. You continue. I mean, the divisions are going away soon. So,
yeah.
But you're continually in the mix, which is where we all think they should be. I mean, that's what you were. That was the hope, was that you're consistently in the mix. And to have one game every year that they just punt that ruins it, like, yeah, it sucks in the moment, but it's. You do have to have a long
when
view
you get
of
some
what,
distance from it.
Yes.
But you will look back and be like, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that performance?
Right, right. Yeah, we still don't know. We still don't know. And Mo didn't play that game. Probably could have. You know,
Mo doesn't play. The running backs have their worst game of arguably the Fleck era. Spears off the chest for.
Yeah, let's not do this to
ourselves.
Yeah,
let's not go there.
We've been doing this on The Fan. We were talking about, you know, the Vikings are 8-1. It seems like they're never going to lose again. And then somehow. Dan just keeps referencing like 98 or 2001, 2009. Can we not do that now? Like, yeah, history.
Just enjoy
the ride.
History tells us
we'll
that,
get to that.
History tells us they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Only one team does. That's how it works. And it could be a cataclysmic way this whole thing crashes and burns. We don't know, but let's not do that right this second. Let's just enjoy the game in Buffalo. Lastly, you have a GoFundMe for your wedding?
I didn't start this.
Okay.
I had some members on Gopher Illustrated want to help out for the honeymoon, and they started a GoFundMe, and I think it's at like $2,000, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do people donate to that?
I'm not going to plug that. There's so many
Why? I brought it up. You can. Well, we're going to talk about my cause, which is much more meaningful and important than whether you're rum runners on your honeymoon.
I just feel bad.
We're going to let people make the choice.
In a day and age where you can there's so many other better things to support. I would just imagine you just put in my name, Ryan Burns, and GoFundMe, and it'll pop up.
Is it on the board, on the GI board?
It is on the Gopher Illustrated boards, but it's
Where's the honeymoon at?
It's in St. Lucia. So out there somewhere in the Caribbean area.
We're
going to take off January 2nd.
Yeah, authentic rum runners there.
Yeah, we're going to take off January 2nd, but that's what it all goes towards, is trying to pay for a honeymoon.
Secondly, we're a little bummed that we're not invited to the wedding. I don't know how this hasn't come up before.
So you're going
to
go from either the Pinstripe Bowl or...
I mean, there's flights. The only four-letter word I don't like is can't. I mean, there's ways to do it.
Difference between can't and won't.
And where's the wedding again? Key Largo. Key Largo. Where's that?
So you fly into Miami or Fort Lauderdale. It's like 50 to 60 minutes south there. First key you get into across the Highway 1 bridge.
Okay. Key Largo.
I've been there.
Beautiful. Key Largo. Oh, they have a tennis tournament down there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. Yeah. Yeah. Key Largo. Well, we'll see. Maybe, like, let's say they end up in Nashville. That'd be a quick little, I could get back down there.
Well, I think, like, most of the bowl projections are on, like, December the 29th. And December the 29th is the joint bachelor-bachelorette party. So I will not be taking in any part of that game. Absolutely not.
Tell me the truth. Are you doing this GoFundMe? Because it's pretty clear you're checked out on Gopher football. That you schedule your bachelor party in bowl season and your literal wedding, like, right in the heart of bowl season. Like, are you just trying to get some type of GoFundMe golden parachute where you don't have to work for, like, a year? That's what it seems like.
Look, I'm not the breadwinner in the family.
Yeah.
So.
Lucky.
Yeah. I've read about college football. Yeah. What are we doing here?
That's exactly right. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we'll see with the bowl season. Like, what if I just decided to bring the family down for the wedding? Like, could we come?
Just crash it.
Could we come in?
Yeah. Tank Largo. Tops.
Yeah.
The kids in tank tops.
Bro tanks, well, yeah, for
Here's my big thing is, like, it's like a destination wedding. Well, of course we're going to have, like, a full open bar. Can you imagine going to a destination wedding and be like, no, just beer and wine? Like, I have strong thoughts and feelings on that.
Interesting.
But, yeah, we're going to have one of the signature cocktails. You're gosh darn right it's going to be a rum runner.
Well, I think it has to.
Oh,
yeah.
And just for you, I'll put a 151 floater on top
the
for
floaters,
you.
The floaters, yeah. It's not worth it if you're not going to do the floaters.
Jenny's going to be driving that night.
Yeah, we'll be, carry limo.
We'll put you on the hammock on the beach there. That's where you'll crash that night.
We'll see where we end up for bowl season.
Tell us about your wife's.
Oh, the Boston Marathon. Well, thank you for bringing it up. It just happened so organically. I
got to find it.
If you haven't already donated to Bernsey's wedding.
Yes, a spare change.
If you have a couple of extra dollars, it's on my Twitter account. I will promote this gradually. So my wife and I, well, my wife is running the Boston Marathon. She has done it twice as a qualifier. 2013 was the last year that she did it. That was the year of the bombing. We were, I think, three blocks away, heard the bombing from the Boston Garden, Boston Commons, whatever that park is, right by where Cheers is. And obviously since then, it's kind of become a special place. Boston in general, the race is unbelievable. Just for runners, it's like a bucket list thing for the people to do it. I know it was for my wife. And she ran it as a qualifier back then. Very hard to qualify for. But it's the 10-year anniversary, so we thought, let's go back. So we went back in 2014. She didn't run, but we went back the year after the bombing just to be there and support it and everything, because it was, as you can imagine, a scary deal. And a scary week when they didn't know who the guys were that did it, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of a tense deal. So we went back in 2014, and we thought, let's go back 2023, 10-year anniversary. Let's get a charity spot, because the Boston Marathon, because it's so highly sought after, they do a great job with charity programs. They raise millions of dollars every year. And the organization we found it's called Good Sports, based out in Boston. And essentially, it raises money to provide sports equipment to kids that don't have access to it.
Very good.
Boston, Chicago, New York, all over the country. It's a national organization, but it's based in Boston. And so it's pretty cool. They partnered with, like, Dick's Sporting Goods and all these different deals. And kids need shoes, gloves, bats, basketballs, football stuff, whatever. They think there's no reason kids shouldn't be able to not play sports or should miss out on sports activities because they can't afford it. So that's what they try to do for people. And so we're raising money for that. And the response, we're not quite to Bernsey Rum Runner level on the GoFundMe, but we just started like 3 days ago. And thanks to you, Bernsey, big donation. Did you take that from your GoFundMe or is that your own money?
That was my own money.
Got it. Yeah, this is moving things around. Yeah. A lot of people have donated. And so we have until April to raise all the money, but you kind of have check marks as you go around because we're trying to raise $10,000. We don't have to raise $10,000. There's a minimum threshold that you have to raise, but that's what we're doing, and it's right there on my Twitter handle. It's the pinned tweet. It's going to be the pinned tweet for a really long time, but people have been awesome. My wife, because she said, I told her, I'm like, all right, now if we do this, like, you got to be all in, which I know she would be in training. She goes, do you think we can raise the money? And I said, we'll raise the money.
Yeah.
Because the audience is the audience. Mm-hmm. And
between K-Fan, come on, Pear.
Pear and a spare
come
people.
Come on, Pear, yeah. Audience.
But what's been funny is a lot of people donate anonymously, and they've donated a lot of money. Like, we had a $500 anonymous donor.
Jeez.
And it just blows her. Like, we've done enough charity stuff, like, in our jobs wherever. I go, trust me, the money will not be an issue because we'll talk about the cause, which is really important, and people are going to be moved to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, every day I get a text, and she's like, I just can't believe these people are donating this money. Like, they don't even know us. I go, that's what, there's good people out there.
Yes, there are.
There's good people out there, and so any help would be appreciated. So if you want to split it, like, $25, $12.50 to Bernsey, $12.50 to me, like, that's fine. You can do any denomination, but – I won't wear you out with it every single Parent of Spare episode, but kind of as we go, I might bring it up every once in a while. But thanks for giving me the time to do it today.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys? I got to go do the PJ Fleck show and hear about the medical team and stacking points and you know, go have a nice lunch.
I got to put eye drops in.
Yeah, Madison. It's like Hangover, Vegas.
Just want to know the story of how we got here, Chip. That's going to be for...
We'll do that off air.
That's for a Power Trip podcast.
Thanks, as always, to Jack's Cafe. Remember the Breakfast with Santa, December 3rd, 10th, and 17th. JAXCafe.com to make reservations for anything else. The phone number on the website there for Breakfast with Santa. Appreciate their support all season long, and we will talk to you next week on the Parent of Spare podcast.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.